Vision is what it is. It could be a good vision, a bad vision, whatever. But it's almost guaranteed not to happen if everybody on the leadership team isn't 100% on the same page with what that vision is.
I'm a fairly motivated person. I am working my butt off and I'm not lazy, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you're lazy if you just need accountability. We all need accountability. Hey, how's it going? It's Tim Brown, and this is the Hook Better Leads podcast. And today I've got Rick Gardner, an EOS and traction implementer out of Colorado. How are you doing, Rick?
Good. How are you today, man?
Doing very well. I know you're working with a lot of roofing companies, and you actually used to own a roofing company. I'm sure you understand kind of some of the problems that they go through. So that's why I'm excited to chat with you today. We're talking through five problems that EOS and traction help solve. If people didn't know what EOS or traction was before this podcast, could you give us just a little bit of a rundown of what that is?
Yeah, sure. So, at a high level, what EOS does for a business is it does three things. It helps solidify the vision of the business. It helps the business make traction on that vision, and it helps it build a healthy, cohesive team. And traction from the standpoint of giving everybody in the business 100% on the same page for the vision of the business and the plan to get there from here. Traction in that there's ownership and accountability for implementing that vision in the organization, and healthy from the standpoint that everybody in the organization shares common values, gets along well together, and has fun.
Awesome. And what's a little bit of background on you, where you've been, where you're going, so that we can just kind of understand your expertise?
Yeah. So I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. I grew up in the country in the mountains in Colorado. When I graduated from college, I started a roofing business. That was really because of a big hailstorm that happened in Denver. And a lot of the very large roofing companies were completely booked. So I saw an opportunity to start a smaller business in that environment. And so started out on my own, doing all the bids, all the roofing, everything all by myself. And then I started hiring a few people and then just started growing from there. What I realized at a certain point was the business had gotten to a point where I couldn't grow anymore without working more and more hours. And I was a little bit stuck on how to get around the corner on that. At about the same time, I was working on getting a degree in engineering. And I had this decision point in the middle. Do I continue to try to grow this roofing business, or do I finish college? And I ended up deciding to finish college. But I learned a lot about some of the challenges that I didn't know at the time how to break through, but I learned later in my career, how to address some of those things. And so when I graduated from college, I was an engineer. I went to work at big Fortune 500 companies, realized that those big companies weren't a very good fit for me. And I went back to the entrepreneurial world and started several businesses, had some epic failures and some successes. And because of those failures, I started coaching entrepreneurs in very early stage startups on how to grow their business and become successful. In that process, I was exposed to the entrepreneurial operating system, and it was kind of a godsend for me and for the entrepreneurs that I was helping. And so that's what really got me exposed to EOS. It's been very transformative for the people that I've taught to use it, and a lot of the businesses that have adopted it have gone places that they had never imagined before. And so that's what really brought me into EOS. And so my background gives me a tie to roofing and construction companies, as well as other types of businesses that I can help.
Awesome. What are five? I have the list here. So we're going to go through five problems that EOS and traction help solve. I'm going to ask some other questions along the way. But the first one that we wrote down together before I pressed record was people not performing. And I'm guessing you sometimes have to advise people to fire. Is that correct?
Yeah. And it's really what we do is we take a little bit of a step back and we say, okay, before we talk about who's not performing and this and that, let's talk about two things. The first thing is, what are the core values in your business? And what does it mean to really be a fit in the culture of your business? And I'll walk my clients through a discovery exercise to really hone in on what are the core values of the business. A lot of times they're unspoken. A lot of times they're assumed. and really getting it out in front of the owner and the leadership team to really have an honest conversation about what are the, you know, what are the values of the business? Mm. That's part of it. That's getting the right people to fit your culture. But then there's another part, and that's the right seats. And what that really is talking about what are the roles required in your business to drive to your vision and your plan for getting there from here. Mm-hmm. And that's really about having people that have the right skills to achieve those goals in each position in your organization. And so we kind of demystify the people problem by saying, first, we have to have the right people and they have to be in the right seats. And those seats are defined by how they're going to help your business grow. And yeah, then we go through a process of kind of evaluating everybody in the organization to see if they're the right people in the right seats. And then to your point, that's when I start talking about maybe we need to make some hard changes to really drive forward.
Yeah, when we're evaluating a candidate, because we're on EOS, we love traction. When we're evaluating a candidate, the way we do it was taught to us by our implementer, which essentially is get it. We got six columns. And each person in the interview gives either a yes or no or a plus or a minus, right? We got get it, want it, capacity to do it. And then we've got our three core values, which are get shit done, scrappy, and oh God, what is our last core? See, it's hard to remember these core values. Get shit done, scrappy, and extreme ownership. So
yeah,
once we evaluate each person by all six of those, and then we get to the end and it's either a hell yeah or it's a no. And
right.
It's really nice to have clarity. And a lot of times they'll be like hunch, otherwise it's hunches, right? And it's kind of
right. That's exactly right. And then you start hearing all these definitions of good people, you know, top quartile, A player, rock star. What you really need to do is define what that means for your specific business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the key. That's why it's so great that you guys went through that.
Love that part of it. And I think like that component, the people analyzer is what they call it in EOS. And it's a really great component of it. They'll give a lot of clarity. You also mentioned as a precursor to some more of these top problems that help solve, you help them clarify their long-term plans. And then you go into like the next year and the next quarter. So a lot of EOS are on like quarterly and yearly planning and just getting clarity on goals. And a lot of people like what do we do as entrepreneurs? We have an hour and a half on a Saturday and we write a bunch of stuff down. And the problem that I've found with that, why I like to have my executive team in on these meetings with an EOS implementer is because if we all decide together and clarify together, then we're much less likely to get 2 months in and say, oh, Tim was wrong. Tim had too ambitious of plans.
Right. That's exactly right. It's vision. Vision is what it is. It could be a good vision, a bad vision, whatever, but it's almost guaranteed not to happen if everybody on the leadership team isn't 100% on the same page with what that vision is. And what we do in EOS is we kind of demystify this whole idea of what's a vision, right? It's, and you've gone through it, so you know, it's really coming up with eight questions that when answered as a leadership team, kind of define your vision. And, you know, it's what's your core focus after you've talked about, you know, the core values. It's what's the core focus? What's the sweet spot of this organization? What are you really good at? And what are you going to be laser focused on going forward? And then given that, what do you think this business is going to look like in 10 years? What's the big goal? And what are the things that are preventing you from achieving that today? You know, and then you go into things like the marketing strategy. But then when you really start bringing it to the ground is when you say, if that's our long-term goal, what does the three-year picture look like? If we're progressing towards that, what does it look like in three short years? What's the business feel like? How are we progressing towards our main goals, such as revenue and those kinds of things? And And then you take it and you bring it down even closer to the ground and you say, okay, given that 3-year picture, what do we have to do in the next year to make progress towards that? And then you start really prioritizing the top few things in the company that really need to be done in the next year to make progress. And then to your point, Tim, you're not done. You bring it even closer to the ground by saying, okay, what do we have to do in the next 90 days? Mm-hmm. With brutal prioritization about what's the most important thing and what are we not going to do? And I think kind of introducing that, when you take all of that together and say, that's really the statement of the vision and the plan for getting there from here, then you have a chance to make progress towards it. And with the entire leadership team on board with it, as goes the leadership team, so goes the rest of the organization.
Yeah. What's the best time of the year for like a roofing company to do EOS planning or big business planning?
Well, you know, there's a saying, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is to plant it today. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a difficult thing. You're in the tyranny of the urgent in your business all the time, and you're always too busy to do it. If you have a choice, maybe in a time of the year when you're not quite as busy, maybe in the wintertime would give you some breathing room to think more about it. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe that starting today is the day you should start.
What about people that think they're too busy?
That's a very good question. And one of the things that I ask is, if you're too busy to figure out how to improve your business, at what point are you going to be not so busy that you can improve your business? And part of what we do in EOS is clarify ownership, accountability throughout the entire organization so that the leader of the organization has time to think about how to grow the business. And that's one of the benefits of EOS.
Do you think that people really need a niche EOS provider? Like in your case, I know you work with a number of roofing companies. Do you think that that adds value to the process?
I think at times it can add value. And I think it also makes companies feel comfortable that they're talking with someone who has experienced what they're going through. But to be honest, by the same token, so EWS is really kind of agnostic to industry type. And sometimes it's a benefit, believe it or not, to have an implementer that doesn't know as much about your business as you do, because they have the ability to see things that you can't because they're not so ingrained in your business. But I do think, to answer the question at a high level, I do think it is a benefit if you have an EOS implementer with experience in your industry.
Love to hear. Let's get into the next problem that EOS, we talked about people. Is there anything else you want to say about people? Obviously, if you have your core values, you've got your people analyzer, you should and could do that on current people in your team. It's scary though, for an owner who hasn't really looked at this super objectively in a while, to just like start, they're like, I know like 3 people should go soon. Like, you know what I mean? If you haven't looked at this in a while, it's like almost like triage who you should be letting go soon, right? I'm guessing you have that feeling sometimes when you go into new companies that there's like almost a triage of who do we fire first.
There is. That happens a lot. But what I like to do is go through the process of identifying the core values and the right seats, because that helps really make the decisions a little bit more concrete. It's not like, to your point, it's not as much a gut feel or as an intuition as it is a realization that this person isn't really a good fit. I just want to hit on a couple of other things related to people that I think is important. Mm-hmm. And this helps make these decisions a little bit easier. There's 2 fundamental people problems that you run into. Problem number 1 is it's the right person in the wrong seat, meaning they're a good fit for your culture. Everybody loves working with them, but they're not very good at their job. That means they're in the wrong seat. And the good news about that particular problem is sometimes you can find the right seat for that person in your organization. Now, sometimes you can't. We're running for-profit businesses, and sometimes you have to make a change. The second issue that we run into that's a little bit more thorny is that you have the wrong person in the right seat. And what that means is they're very, very good at their job. They're hitting their numbers. They're just knocking it out of the park. But they are kind of a cancer in your culture. They're undermining your culture in ways you can't even see. And so the value that they bring in being good at their job is completely diminished by the bad culture fit. And in those cases, I really encourage my clients to make a change. So understanding which of those two issues you're dealing with a given person is an important thing to think about as you go through and look at people.
All right. Just because we're on like a 30-40 minute timeline on this podcast, because that was our first one. That's our first problem.
Well, that's the most important one though, Tim.
It's a really important one. All right, let's get in. Well, this one's a pretty important one too. Not enough profit. So a problem that EOS helps solve is if you don't have enough profit. And by the way, Rick, EOS implementers are expensive. So if you're thinking you don't have enough profit, it might be scary to try to hire a consultant. So talk to me about how, though, that this helps combat that.
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways that it helps. One is you clarify where you're going with the business and what is getting in your way from achieving that, right? And you also start talking about some of the core processes that are critical in order for you to achieve that goal. And then you start looking at, when you go through and define the right seats in your organization, you start to see that maybe you have some people that are doing things that are not contributing towards your goal. And so that really ends up as an expense without much of a benefit. And so really going through and understanding where your money is being spent and whether or not that money that you're spending is making progress towards your goal is a critical thing. Mm. And being able to see that and see those areas where your profits are being diminished is tough to do when you're in the business all the time and not taking a step back and looking at the business from a higher level. And so having the core processes defined, having the right people in the right seats that are executing on making progress towards your vision, all of those things contribute to maximizing profit. And then the other part of that too is as enabling growth, and you can't enable growth, without all of those things in place and making progress towards them.
Absolutely. And just having like accountability, like we have the quarterly meeting, right, with our implementer, and like, you know what's funny? Without an implementer, see, you don't, supposedly you're only supposed to have an implementer like a 2-year implementation, right? Like that's kind of the thing, but it's like so nice to just have somebody on the outside going, like, I'm getting a year and a half in or whatever on our implementation. And I'm already like kind of sad to think that we wouldn't have that implementer pass the time, because I love that quarterly accountability. And like, it's basically just simple. Did you hit this goal or not? Right. And I'm not going to lie. If you don't have somebody on the outside of your business saying that and like holding you accountable and saying yes or no, you kind of don't have the right amount of like nipping at your heels to get where you're going. Like you need accountability at least at a quarterly basis to even like, and from the outside. And I'm a fairly motivated person. Like I'm not like, I am working my butt off and I'm not lazy, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you're lazy if you just need accountability. We all need accountability.
So Rilla allows you to listen to, it's an AI in your pocket, listens to the appointment. It's pretty crazy what it can do. It gives a script, gives everything they said, it breaks down some statistics for you.
Analyze talk ratio, interactivity, like how you and I are interacting back and forth, longest modeling, like all
honestly,
those things.
This is the shit that I most believe in AI.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Enhancing
the user experience. You're about to put math and data around something that used to be my magic skill.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it is, you know, kind of an unbiased third party that's holding you accountable for what you said you were going to do. Right. And, but also having somebody that's outside of the tyranny of the urgent who can more clearly see the issues that are coming up for you that you might not be able to see, Tim, because you're in the battle all the time, right? Mm-hmm. That's the other benefit of having a kind of a third-party implementer engaged with your team.
Absolutely. All right, we got the third one. We got not enough profit, and I appreciate what you said on that. The third one is the business owns them versus them owning the business. So the hours are increasing as the business increases. This is one I can relate to a lot, and I'm still struggling even though I've got EOS. So how does EOS help with that?
So, you know, that's I think, you know, the biggest godsend for a lot of owners, and you probably feel this too, Tim, is when they're implementing EOS, they finally realize that the tools for ownership and accountability and delegation and getting the right people in the right seats below them that are executing on the things that'll help that business grow, it frees up time for the owner. And they no longer have to be the one involved in every single decision, in everything, every single activity, every problem that comes up doesn't require the owner or the leader to be involved. And this has to do with delegating and letting go and building a sense of trust. And part of what EOS does is it helps give the owner trust that things are being handled by, as the leadership team, deciding who does what and who's accountable for what and what does accountability in that role look like. And so that's the kind of thing that starts to free the leader up to work on the business and help it grow and not be the bottleneck for everything. And you've gone through those tools.
Yeah. And I think my problem is a little different. Like, I'm just neurotic and I work neurotically. And that's probably something I just need to get therapy for more than like the business technically has all the right components in place and it's working very well. I'm also the marketer. So I'm like, I'm the boss, the CEO technically. And then I'm also the marketer. So I'm just kind of like, you know, like some, they say, you know, like, you want to work for yourself, but then like now my boss is an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, and that's probably what I'm dealing with a little bit on that. But generally we have people in place in all the leadership positions and I feel very good that those things are well taken care of. And that's,
but here's the beauty of what you just said, Tim. You just recognize that you're wearing two hats.
Yeah.
And that's 50% of the battle. So mm-hmm. maybe you're not ready to have, to bring someone in to wear your other hat. But you know that as you grow, that's going to be something you have to do, right? Mm-hmm. And just coming to that realization that you've come to is half the battle. Oh, and so when you get to the point where you're ready to pull the trigger on someone to fill that role, to your point, you're going to look for somebody that's a good fit for the culture and they've got the skills and talent to take over for you in that role. And you're set up now to... Go ahead.
Sorry, we're getting free consultation from Rick right now. So thanks, Rick. yeah, I think which is the best part about this podcast is me getting free consultation. I love it. You know how expensive Rick's hourly rate is? No. No, for real. See, this is all a trick to get that free consultation, baby.
That's right.
No, but it's, I think... The thing is, the age-old problem with us entrepreneurs is we think we do it better than everyone else that will ever do it. And that is, well, I know it's been proved wrong in so many other positions in the business. It's just always there's one more position where it's like, no, only I could do this. You know, so that's the thing that we're also always struggling against as entrepreneurs.
But let me ask you this, Tim. As you've gone through EOS and you're no longer in your own little echo chamber, and you can have honest, open conversations with your leadership team about that, it's probably a little bit more freeing that they help you realize you're not the only one that can do this. And here's the expense. Here's the cost of the business for you not letting go of that part. Do you find that that's therapeutic with the leadership team?
Oh, yeah. And it is cool. I mean, as time goes on, this is not the case 2 or 3 years ago. My leadership team tells me to take a day off, which is different than it used to be. So like, can you imagine your leaders, like if you're in the doldrums of the hardcore first 5 years or whatever, Can you imagine a time with EOS and Traction, I think would help, is if your leadership team told you to take a day off in the middle of the week, like, and that everything is going to be just fine. Like, that is essentially what we're working towards, I think, as entrepreneurs, the ability to take a day off and feel like everything's well taken care of.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. The next one is growth has hit a ceiling. So how does EOS and Traction help solve for growth hitting a ceiling?
That's a great question. And it's also related to what we just talked about. A lot of times growth has hit the ceiling because the owner or the leader has reached their maximum capacity in the model that they used to use for running their business. And every time they grow, they have to grow the number of hours that they contribute. And so, you know, that's a common endemic that we see is that it's hit a ceiling for that reason. And it can also hit a ceiling because related to that, is you're really not clear on what are the things that are preventing you from growing today. And you've been through this, and that's the exercise we go through about identifying the issues that are preventing us from achieving that growth. And, you know, there's the leadership abilities that we talk about to help break through that ceiling. But it's really about pulling all of this stuff together to really see what's the most important thing that's limiting your growth. And it's typically your bandwidth as the leader.
If you truly believe in what you're doing and you want to be the best version of yourself and you want to build a great organization, there's no other place to do that besides the Roofing Academy.
And one thing that I've enjoyed seeing happen with EOS, this is just all like a seminar for how awesome EOS is. But that's okay. Cause I mean, like, we need a system to run our business that's coherent and cohesive and simple enough that we can pass it through the organization. So whether it's EOS or a different one, find something right. that you can operate by and stick to, and that everyone knows what it is and can be on board. Right. That's kind of the
point. Right. Exactly. Yep.
I've enjoyed that's a little bit of separation between different departments that we created. One of my favorite things was the accountability chart.
Yep.
And really, we had more leaders. We had more key leaders before, and we trimmed it by almost half. And that was a big deal.
Yes.
It was a big deal. And then we created a separated operations team from our executive team. And that was a big deal. So like some of the most simple components of EOS and a simple component in general, like an accountability chart, can really create clarity.
Yes. And
what we've enjoyed is not only just like having some separation from the people that are running all the work getting done, like that is good. It's really, really important to have a little bit of separation, because then growth doesn't have to be so connected to the people getting the work done that have anxiety and are going to slow down the growth, which so it's like a little bit of like siloing in a positive way that happens. And then their ability to make decisions without us as the leadership team needing to dive in every single time on every tiny issue, because they're anxious implementation. And of course, they should be able to improve it without the business owner. You know, the business owner sometimes is like, you were saying, don't be the problem solver in your business, right?
Right.
Don't be the problem solver. That's a big one. I was actually just listening to, who is it? The guy from Gettle, Ken Goodrich, today.
Yeah.
He was just talking about that exact thing. So I put that in big bold in our notes, because it's like, that's his whole thing. Is because if you're the problem solver, if you're the one that the magic man or woman like that fixes everything, don't be the fixer. Because you will basically earn yourself that spot for eternity.
And you're training your people that they're not here to solve problems. They're here to come to you with problems, right? Mm-hmm. But I wanted to point out a magic trick with the accountability chart that you probably saw. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a powerful magic trick. The accountability chart is not an org chart. And you don't start out with names. You start out with the functions and the responsibilities that are required to drive your business forward without any names assigned. when you go through that process like you did, Tim, you probably see that there's some core functions that are really contributing to our goals.
Mm.
And those key core functions are the leadership team. And if you have functions that aren't contributing to that, they don't really belong. And it's not until afterwards that you start applying names to those. Mm-hmm. And so that little magic trick helps you separate the personalities and the profiles that you have in your company from what needs to get done in order to grow. And that's kind of the trick, the magic with that accountability chart.
Oh, absolutely. All right. The last one we've got is quick fixes haven't worked. So what are the types of quick fixes that, let's say, small businesses or roofing companies are trying more commonly, and why don't they work?
Well, it's not that they wouldn't work, but a lot of times what you see is I'll see an owner that has a problem with people. And so they'll go read a book about resolving people issues. Mm. Or they're having a problem with defining their strategy or their vision. And so they go read a book on that. And those are kind of like point solutions to a system of problems that are interconnected. And so what I see a lot is they'll talk to an expert or they'll read a book and they'll try to implement it. But it's kind of a whack-a-mole. So they try to fix their people issues, and then they see that they have a vision problem, and they work on the vision problem, and then they see that they have an execution problem. And so, you know, that frustration and not knowing what to do next when you've tried everything is a common problem that I see. And, you know, I've been there, I've done it, it's happened to me before. And really being able to take a step back and look at the whole system together and really resolve all the components of your business kind of in parallel at the same time is the key to really breaking through those issues.
Mm. What about you said books are often a quick fix. What about the book Traction? Like, so what if they're just, because I did try to self-implement for the first 5 years of my business. So I definitely tried.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Traction is a good book, and all the books out there are good books, and there's a lot of things you can learn from them. One of the deceptive things with Traction is it's such a simple system at first glance that it does look like it's going to be pretty easy to implement it yourself. And a lot of people successfully implement EOS on their own. And I encourage people to do that. But one of the challenges that I think you brought up earlier, Tim, was you can tend to lose momentum because you're also running the business. You don't have that third party holding you accountable for the things that you're trying to implement. And the cadence of being involved every quarter with your business with an outside party really helps you get traction with Traction much more rapidly.
Yeah, and I'll just give a little testimonial for not using an implementer. It's tiring. And honestly, for some weird reason, like, people on your team won't listen to you the same way that they will with somebody on the outside. And I know that that might just be like, I need to work on my leadership skills, and I probably do, and I am working on them. But for some reason, it's just like it's simpler when you have somebody on the outside that's just saying, all right, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. And then they can explain Traction better. And there's like a confidence and a certainty that it's actually going to help and it's actually going to work. And really, we need that certainty, like, because I don't have it. You know, as an entrepreneur, you haven't seen this work. You haven't been an implementer a lot of times. I'm saying the audience. You haven't been an implementer for 30 businesses, right? Like, you don't know those pitfalls and that certainty that if you get through this, it will be better. And like, as a Traction implementer, you've probably seen enough times where it actually worked that your certainty goes up and you push forward in a different way from the outside.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And how can somebody work with you if they wanted to work with you as an implementer?
It's really easy. First thing is to send me an email or give me a call. Let me know if you'd like to talk.
What is your email and your phone number here?
Do you want me to post it in chat.
You can say it.
My phone number is area code 970-214-2212. And my email is rick.gardner@eosworldwide.com.
Awesome. And the initial calls are like, is that simple?
Yeah, it's 15 to 30 minutes just to talk about how things are going, what's going on in your business, what your challenges are. And then usually what we do in that meeting is we schedule a time for me to meet with the leadership team for about 90 minutes. And I do this 90-minute meeting with the entire leadership team to talk about the tools in EOS and the process that we'll go through. And it's really important for the whole leadership team to be involved in that. And then, and that's free. I give a lot of best practices and tools away in that meeting. And if we decide to work together, then we'll schedule the very first formal session day together.
Awesome. Well, people hit him up. And thank you for being on, Rick. I think EOS is probably one of the biggest unlocks to growth that we've had in our business. And I've seen it be the same for roofing companies. So I hope more people take action on this and know that EOS can really help roofing companies. So thank you everyone for watching. Please like, comment, subscribe. And if you're on iTunes or Spotify, may I just ask in a heartfelt way for a second? It does matter if we get a review on this podcast. And if there is value coming through this, please take 1 minute and review the podcast. And thank you, thank you, thank you, Rick, for being so generous with your time today. And thank you, everyone, for watching. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.